And we're back. You're listening to Money Talks. I'm Matt Haynes, here with Ben Crow, Troy Harmon, Casey Smith. As always, you can reach us during the week with any questions you want us to answer here on the show at 770-429-9166. Or if you've got a question you want to email us, you can get us at drgene@hensler.com. All right, well, let's talk about this case study, guys. We do these every week, and we try to come up with a little bit different tilt every time. And this week, we got a situation where we've got Camille and Trent. They're married. He's 35, she's 37. So a younger couple. They've got their first child expected here in August. And between the two of them, they make net about $10,000 a month. She works in the school system, and he works for an actuarial firm, so they've got a good income. But the conversation's revolving around they are in that much to be envied status today of what we would refer to as a dink, dual income, no kids. They've been saving. They've been doing a good job saving based on the details we got here, and we don't have to read them all out. But they've been saving their money. They've been smart. But now with the child on the way, she's wanting to stay home at least for a number of years with the child. So what planning considerations do we need to think about, talk about? Where do we start with this?
Well, I can speak to this a little bit because I went through the same thing a few years ago when my first child was born, and my wife quit working so that she could stay home, and we had to take a look at the finances. And as much as it's a financial decision, it's also a very personal decision as to what do you want for your life and your family and your kids and everything? Is a career more important to you, or is it staying home and being able to be there and raise the children? So you have to kind of weigh those things first and foremost, and then kind of take a look at the financials of it and see, does it make sense for you and will you be able to do it? This particular case seems, as far as a financial situation, they have been saving. They have very little debt. I mean, it looks like the only debt they've got really is mortgage debt, which is not and car payments.
Got a couple car payments.
So nothing that's. It's not like they've got a high credit card debt or anything like that. So, and she's making, $40,000. It looks like gross income.
And at child care rates today, Casey, you have younger children than I do. But I see it all the time.
$40,000 pretty quick.
It's outrageous. It is. I mean, what it takes to pay these, you spend $20,000 a year easy.
Absolutely.
For child care.
And you get into it, it's the child care, and then we talk about a lot of times what comes up when both parents are gone out of the house. So are you going to need, is there help in the home? Is it, other services, resources that are going to need to, commuting costs? You get to bake all that in there. The question becomes, is she just working to pay for the child care side?
And I think,
benefit?
Right. And with her making $40,000, I think you're, with child care alone, and you start adding on those other things that you just mentioned, and I think it's
eating out versus cooking at home.
Right. This is certainly something that they need to take seriously.
The other consideration for her, though, is, how much, if she does want to go back to work, is this going to hurt her career-wise if she quits working for a few years and then she tries to re-enter the workforce? Mm-hmm. If that's the goal for her, is that going to put her back at
and
all?
That may be a little bit – that may be a little easier transition in this. I don't know, in teaching, if they hold that against you or not. But, certainly if one were on a professional path, then that would – you would think that could be quite a setback.
And how stable is his job? I mean, is he pretty secure? It looks like he's just gotten a bonus and a pay increase and sort of a big promotion. So it looks like he's in a stable position where he's not going to have to worry necessarily about losing his job, hopefully, if the economy keeps providing, trucking along at the same pace. So that's the other thing. They may want to increase their emergency reserves a little bit. It looks like they've got about 6 months saved up. So if something were to happen, they're now on a single income. They have to take that into consideration.
And we talk about emergency reserves. We have on the show many times before because we get that question a lot. Well, how much should we save? And, you'll hear these rules of thumb out there, 3 to 6 months living expenses. And the truth of the matter is it really depends per situation, right? I mean, how long, based on your skill set, do you think it – like, so if you lose a job, how long do you think it would take you to get reemployed? Are you in a very specialized field? Is it the type of thing that you could be out for a long time? There's no way to really know.
I know. I mean, it is all, you're self-employed. Is
that's
your wife at home? One earner, those types of things. If you're self-employed, only one person is working, I mean, those would kind of lean toward a little bit bigger emergency reserve,
right?
Because it would, you know, if something happened, you need to certainly sustain that.
And, you know, I'll toss this statistic out here, and this is just, you know, surveys will tell you, and we see this in our research, that the average cost as of August of 2014 from last year's numbers, average cost of raising a child in the U.S. to age 18 is around $245,000.
Which well, now I know where my money goes.
I was going to say, explains a lot when you hear the number. But it's not inexpensive, but it's a big decision. I mean, you know, we hear, you know, decisions now. Her being an educator, I don't know that, you know, that this would work in this case. But a lot of folks try to work from home. Does the mom decide, well, I want to not work from the office, but is there an option to do part-time work from home? So there's a bunch of things that can be considered on that front as well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and as far as other issues that they may need to think about, I mean, life insurance, it doesn't give us a whole lot of detail about what their life insurance situation. Their health insurance looks to be covered through his work, so they should be okay there.
So you got health insurance through his work, but on the insurance side, you know, there's really two conversations for a young couple like this to have. There's the life insurance side, which obviously we'd say term. You know, you need to get the cheapest type of insurance that you want to.
And not necessarily rely on your employer coverage.
That's right. It needs to be personally owned. Now, your employer, to your point, Ben, a lot of employers will, you know, they'll have something like
two times
base salary. Mm-hmm. But there again, you lose a job, you're going to lose that coverage. So
correct.
It's worth having life insurance, again, preferably term, for that's owned by you for your family. But then you start thinking about the disability conversation.
Yeah, that's a huge one. It's huge.
It's and, I mean, almost it's a bigger deal than. Yeah.
And that's one people don't ever think about.
No.
For some reason, even though the likelihood that you're going to be disabled is a lot higher than the likelihood you're going to die.
That's right.
And, you know, and many people have disability coverage, long-term disability coverage through work.
Mm-hmm.
However, don't assume that that's going to be enough.
That's right.
Long-term disability coverage.
And those benefits are likely going to be taxable. If your employer's paying the
premiums,
then.
If it's a benefit provided on a pre-tax basis, then if you ever need it and it's paid out to you, then it's taxable income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go buy your own personal policy and you pay with after-tax dollars, you just, you know, then it's tax-free income if that policy ever does pay.
Yep.
So there's two different ways that works. But need to pay attention. And don't just assume the employer coverage, once again, is adequate to cover that area.
Yeah, I mean, the lack of portability with most of those is the issue on my end, is that, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's fine up until you lose your job
and
you've got a crisis on that side. So the insurance is important to think about. Let's see, what else have we got here? You know, she's been saving. We referenced that early in this case study when we talked about it. You know, she's got her 403B that she's been saving to through the teacher system. She's got about $60,000 she's set aside in that because they're in their mid-30s. She's been saving to it well. And
which
you're going to need to roll that over.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you leave an employer, you know, the question comes up often, well, what do I do with my old retirement account? You know, what are the pros and cons of leaving it where it is? I mean, obviously, if you leave it there, Casey, you're stuck with those investment options, right? And that can be limiting in terms of what you know, how you want to invest that money going forward. So what you do is you do a rollover where you take, once you leave your employer, you can take that money, roll it directly to an IRA account, and then you have a lot more control over the investment options.
That's right.
With those dollars.
And it's a non-taxable event. Doesn't cost you anything per se. You just have to fill out the paperwork with your employer. You have to go open an account at a custodian, discount brokerage house, somebody like a Schwab or a Fidelity or a E-Trade or Scott Trade, somewhere like that. Open up an IRA rollover account and process that just to get the money moved over.
Yeah, it's a really easy process. I mean, we do it all the time for people, and it really makes a lot of sense in most cases because you can get out of those limited investment choices and add a lot of flexibility to your overall situation.
Yeah, and we've covered a bunch of stuff, just random planning things that they need to be thinking about, considerations to have in the back of their mind. But another one I wanted to mention is on the estate planning front. And, you know, mid-30s, one child coming it is a change. We know from the case study that we have in front of us that they've got a will. They'd gone ahead and done that, but now they're going to need to update that. They're going to have to change beneficiary stuff. But what I oftentimes recommend, and Ben, be curious to get your take on this in case of you as well, is that while many people think of estate planning as though it is reserved for the conversation about what happens when we die, do we have a will or not? So much of what they need to be sure they've got covered are those advanced directives, the things like the durable power of attorney, financial power of attorney, medical.
You see those come into play in a lot of cases. I mean, this is a fairly young couple. But I mean, you know, especially with older people that, you know, may have an extended hospital stay or something like that, those financial power of attorney, that health care directives, all those things, you see them.
You hear stories all the time.
Used over, you know, they come up. I mean,
sure. But in a case like this, I mean, I've said it many times, I almost think it's more complicated if you don't die than if you do.
Yeah.
If you know, you want a will, you need to have that in place, but they're not in a situation where it's an estate tax issue. They don't have millions and millions of dollars. This is a situation where what happens if they're in a car accident and they survive, they're incapacitated for some period of time? Or what if one of them dies? And who can pay the mortgage? What's going to happen to the, who's going to care for the children?
I mean, you know, this is a guardian. Exactly. You know, I mean, that's why it's important for younger.
Do you want the state to decide what happens to your kid? I mean, you know, obviously it's going to pass through regular probate law, and the state of Georgia is not overly complex when it comes to that. But
you don't want to leave it to them, right?
No, you don't want to leave it to the government.
So that's just, I wanted to get that out there, that it's even in your 30s, when you've got kids and you're married, you got a home, these decisions are things that are important, and you need to take the time, find a good estate planning attorney that can help with that.
And when you go to an estate planning attorney, you know, most of the time they're going to do a package of documents. It's not just to get your will done. It's to get all these other things that are going to be, you know, part of that, so that you will be covered on these other aspects if those issues do come up.
Yep. And I say it often. I think I probably said it last week or week before last. Find an attorney that doesn't sell insurance, because many estate planning attorneys hang their shingle that way. But really what they want to do is just sell you an insurance policy to speak to your estate planning needs. So be careful. Insurance is good, can be used, and is useful, but you want somebody who's actually going to do planning for you. So there's a tax change too, right? They need to adjust
where
they file their
taxes. That's right. You know, so we got a married filing joint, you know, tax return here. So what else is going to change? You're going to have, obviously, the personal exemption is $4,000 per person in 2015. Mm-hmm. So with a new child comes a new dependency exemption. You want to be sure and get that in before the end of the year. And also $1,000 tax credit for a child tax credit is what it's called. Now, that does get phased out at a relatively low level. It starts at $110,000. And so you may, this particular couple may not benefit from that. But, you know, and whenever you have changes to withhold, you know, to your dependents and so forth, you may want to look at your withholding at your employer, especially if your wife stops working. You know, maybe you can dial back the income tax being withheld from your check and help out on that, help make up some of that shortfall.
So there's several things. There's the budgeting side, there's the cash flow side, there's the insurance piece you need to review. You need to be sure you're considering your estate plan, the changes there, roll over the 403B. There's a litany of things, but be sure you consult with someone. If you don't know exactly how to handle this, it's worth getting advice. I mean, go sit down and talk to a CFP. Obviously, we do that here at Hensler Financial, but there's a lot to consider, and it's worth being sure you don't miss anything, and you're well prepared when that little bundle of joy gets here and Mama decides to stay home. So let's take a break here, and when we come back, we got one more segment. We'll get into a few more listener questions. I think there was an earnings report we may cover quickly, depending on how much time we've got. But you're listening to Money Talks. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.